I want to say pleasant good morning to everyone. Good morning. And I greet you this morning, not the name, but in the name of our only Lord and Savior this morning. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we thank him for his goodness, thank him for his mercy, thank him for his love, thank him for his divine protection, for taking us to, you know, to point in safety. We thank him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to continue this morning on our study on the battle for the mind. All right? And where we left off last week was, where is the battlefield? Where is the war against Satan and his principality? It must be fought and won in our mind. I said it must be fought and won in our mind.
Amen.
So let's go. Don't you know that Satan is attacking us at our most vulnerable point?
Amen.
Yes. Satan's objective is to attack at the very center of man's existence. Within his innermost being. Jesus is explaining to his disciples the source from which man is defiled and sin is conceived. Because, you know, they were accusing his disciples of eating with unwashed hands. You know, yes, our hands could be clean, but Jesus was telling them, listen, whether your hands dirty or clean, that is not what defiles a man. Is what is inside him that comes out.
That's right.
That is what defiles. All right, and it is in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. And let's turn to it, please. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. And as you turn, let's read, please. Verse 21 to 23. All right, it says, let's read together, please. Let's read from 20. Let's read from 19. And it says, because it entered not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's it. All these things come from within and defile the man. And you know, if you want to listen from the Amplified, it says, for from within, that is, out of the heart of man, come base and wicked thoughts. Sexual immorality, stealing, murders, adultery, coveting, that means a greedy desire to have more wealth, dangerous and destructive wickedness, deceit, unrestrained, indecent conduct, an evil eye, envy, slander, evil speaking, malicious, misrepresentation, abusiveness, pride, that is the sin of an uplifted heart against God and man, foolishness, folly, lack of sense, recklessness, thoughtfulness, all these evil purposes and desires come from within, and they make the man unclean and render him unhallowed. You understand much more now?
Amen.
That's right. He told the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can he, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. The day you walk around and see a mango tree bearing ripe bananas, you got to know that something is definitely wrong somewhere.
That's right.
But when you come around the mango tree, you expect mangoes. That is in the season.
Amen.
You expect mangoes. Hmm?
Amen.
When you come around the bananas, you expect bananas.
Yes.
So out of the good heart, you will hear the things coming out of the good heart.
That's right.
Out of the evil heart, you will hear things coming out of the evil heart. You know, many times people accuse the believers of judging. Yes, you judge according to God's word. We are not dumb people. You judge according to God's word. Yes, you have a right to judge according to God's word.
Amen.
That's right. You don't see the heart of man. God sees it. But you can judge for what you can discern, what you can see according to the word. You know whether a person is evil or good.
That's right.
According to the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. So the word heart, in these verses, we see that man's heart is his innermost being, where either good or evil thoughts resides. A man's word and action are determined by what is in his heart. If there are thoughts of hatred, anger, jealousy or pride in an individual's heart, they will be manifested in the words that come out of his mouth. If there are thoughts of hatred, anger, jealousy or pride in an individual's heart, they will be manifested in the words that come out of his or her mouth.
Amen?
Amen? Whatever is stored in a man's heart within his innermost being will eventually be manifested in his action. Eventually, even though he put up a front, eventually it will be manifested. And I'll say it again, even though they put up a front, eventually it will be manifested.
Amen.
That's right. If you allow your heart to be filled with thoughts of doubt, fear, unbelief regarding the circumstances you are facing, it will be manifested through the word you speak. And you will not be able to receive what you need from God because of the unbelief in your heart. That's why I encourage brethren, let's speak. Let's say what God say about us. Let's speak the word.
Right.
Let's speak the word.
Amen.
You know, I have an aunt. She speaks such negative things. Such negative things. You know, many times I have to say, well, you know, she's not born again, but many times I have to tell her, don't say that. Don't say things like that. She will say things like, I'm not feeling so well, boy, like I have cancer. And all sorts of things she calls on herself. You know? Let's speak God's word.
Amen.
Let's get in the habit of speaking God's word. I always encourage you, you know, I don't know if you could remember, I always encourage you, mothers, fathers, over your children, regardless of what you see, don't even say what you see. Speak blessings over them. Mothers, fathers, speak blessings over your children. Regardless of what you see, don't speak what you see.
Amen.
But speak what God is expected of them, what God wants them to be.
Amen.
Speak good things. Please, speak good things. You know, we grew up in an environment where you hear all this sort of nonsense. But God has given us light in those areas, revelation. Amen. So we got to live it. Amen. I said we got to live it.
Amen.
Let's live it. The light that was thrown on us, let's walk in that light. Let's walk in that light. So, if you allow your heart to be filled with thoughts of doubt, fear, unbelief regarding the circumstances you're facing, it will be manifested through the word you speak. You will not be able to receive what you need from God because of the unbelief in your heart. If we have unbelief in our heart, we cannot receive. In other words, unbelief is telling God that he's a liar. Yes, unbelief is telling God that he's a liar. You don't believe what he says, that he's a liar. That's what unbelief is saying. The heart is the center of man's existence. And that word is interchangeable because you will hear of the spirit too. It doesn't mean the organ that is beating here, you know, and we hope that it will continue beating until God knows when. It's not that heart the Bible is speaking about at all, the spirit of man. Amen?
Amen.
The center of man's existence. It is in the heart man receives the word.
Amen.
I said it is in the heart man receives the word.
Amen.
Is convicted by the Holy Spirit and is saved. And that is Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. You can make note of it. It is in the heart within man's innermost being where this, he either has the faith of God to believe God's word and his promises or harbors doubt and unbelief that hinders him from knowing and receiving from God what he needs.
Right.
You don't come up, you know, you meet people, you know, that have needs and they request prayer and you pray for them. And as you say amen, they go to somebody else and ask for prayer again. And act as though they still have the problem. In other words, they will have a headache and you'll pray in Jesus' name. And, you know, you believe God because that's what he said. You pray in his name and it shall be done.
Amen.
And the minute you say amen, they'll turn to somebody else and say, oh God, I have a terrible headache. Unbelief.
Yes.
You see, faith does not go by how we feel.
That's right.
And sometimes it doesn't go even by what we see.
That's right.
That's right. We got to see it done.
Amen.
So even though you are prayed for or you claim God's promises and you still feel whatever you feel or you see whatever you see, in faith, you got to see it done.
Amen.
That's how we're going to be done in any case.
Amen.
In faith, you got to see it done. So we'll not receive what God has for us with unbelief in our hearts.
Right.
So the heart is the center of man's existence. It's in the heart man receives the word, man gets saved. It is in the heart within man, innermost being, where he either has the faith of God to believe God's word and his promises or harbor doubt and unbelief that hinder him from knowing and receiving from God what he needs. Jesus said, have faith in God. And in the original, it will tell you, have the faith of God, because faith is not natural.
Amen.
I said, faith is not natural.
Amen.
Natural human being cannot produce, not even the saved ones can produce faith. But faith is a gift of God. It is not natural. It is a gift of God. Amen. Truly I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, and I'll try my best to remember to bring back my mustard seed, just to remind you of the faith God expects you to have. Huh? I must bring it back because I found it. Whosoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. What is in your heart And those you could take that down, those who are writing. Just as you wrote just now, Satan is attacking us at our most vulnerable point. All right? You should also mark this down. What is in your heart and mind determining what you are? What is in your heart and mind determines what you are. You know, many times mouth could say anything, right?
Yes.
I'm a believer, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Mouth say a lot of things. But what is in your heart and mind determines what you are. Notice, doesn't say anything about the mouth, right? The heart and mind determines what you are. Remember, man is for spirit. He possesses a soul, and man lives in a body.
Amen.
What we see the body that man live in. We don't see the real man. The real man, his spirit cannot be seen, but the real man lives in a body, possesses a soul, and is spirit. That is why man, you communicate with man three ways: words, gesture, and spirit.
Amen.
You see, if you are able to discern, and you just gesture alone could give you the sentence, man. You can write the sentence. Not sentence what you get in the court, you know. But you can perceive a lot by just gesture. You don't even need the word. That's why spirits are transferable.
Amen.
That's why you got to be careful who you keep company with, because spirits are transferable.
Yes.
You don't have to do nothing for a spirit to be transferred into you. You hang around the unsaved long enough and your light don't shine, your spirit will be transferred on you. Will be transferred on you. Transference of spirit. Will be. There's no two ways about it. There's no getting away from it. Jesus told the multitude that it was possible to sin in the heart. In the innermost being, even before the sin is manifested outwardly, he said, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her had committed adultery in her heart already," or his heart. And not just adultery, but fornication, whatever. Not just adultery. Don't just put an adultery. You know, in the olden time, they will stone you. In the olden days, under the law, when a young couple get married, and the night of the wedding, the man found out that the woman was not a virgin, she'll be stoned. Or he has an option to put her away. But God is so serious about divorce and remarriage that God said, listen, even though you put her away and she marry, you know, you marry, you become adulterous. Because there's nothing God's plan to put away and divorce, you know that?
Amen.
That is not God's plan at all. You know whose plan it is?
That's
not God's plan.
That's
right. Yeah. So, in the olden times, you are stoned to death if you commit adultery or fornication. And sometimes we look at living under the law and you say it's hard. But to me, it's more intense, it's more serious under grace, because you don't have to go to bed with anybody. But if you look at someone and you lust in your heart, you already committed. You may as well go confessing the sin of adultery or fornication. You don't have to actually commit the act. And that is under grace, eh? Said, it is in man's heart, his innermost being, where sin is conceived. It was in Satan's heart that sin originated. His heart was lifted up because of his beauty. Remember the story I told you about the two young ladies? I don't know if you all remember that. One was really beautiful, eh? Face value. Really beautiful, because you can have a beautiful face and have a terrible heart. You know that?
Amen.
Because beauty is really on the inside, eh? Not the outside. You don't look at a flat nose and a dark skin and say somebody ugly. Because God knows why he created all the races. Amen? But anyway, that other person, she didn't have a beauty, she didn't have face value at all. She didn't have a beauty, what we call a beautiful face. And one day that beautiful girl, that beautiful young woman, look at the other one who they call ugly and told her, people ugly like you have a right to die. She really said so in front of everybody. We was working together. She said, people ugly like you have a right to die. And boy, I'm so glad I wasn't in her place to hear somebody tell me that. But you know what happened? That girl they call ugly, she had ambition. So she didn't want to just settle for working in a factory, but she wanted to move on. So she applied and she got in the nursing. She got to do nursing. And she wasn't just an assistant, she ended up in white. You know when you end up in white, you're a serious nurse, right? You don't know about nursing? You don't go to the hospital? Those in white and our nurses, those in the yellow and whatever, assistant. But she was a nurse with a white dress, with a tux and thing also. And you know what happened one day? That beautiful girl, that beautiful, beautiful girl, you know what she did? She was so frustrated because she used to use her beauty and think that was all. So because men will be going after her and all that, oh, she figured she was on top of the world, man. You know what happened one day in the hospital? I'm talking about in Porter's Point General Hospital. That beautiful girl, you know what she did? She took poison, man. She drank poison. And when she ended up in the same ward where the ugly nurse was working. Huh? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, she could have done a lot of things, but she just treated her like any other patient and do her duty as a nurse. That's what she did. And thank God for that. She didn't say, well, listen, she could have given her some wrong injection and kill her, whatever, and finish kill her. But she treated her like how she will treat any other normal patient. But I was so glad when that happened because she lay down on that bed and that same person she could have died, had to see after her in that ward. Man's heart. The heart of man. So Satan allowed pride to be lifted up in his heart, Ezekiel 28, verse 17. It was in his heart, Ezekiel 28, verse 17. It was in his heart. He exalted himself above God, and that is also Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. Right? And then when Ananias and Sapphira lied about the sale of their land and kept back part of the money for themselves, Peter asked Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you receive for the land? Chapter 5, verse 3. Right? And it's good if you can write the word heart and just put a big circle around it. The main thing. He said, how do you allow Satan to fill your hearts? To lie. You didn't just lie to man. We treat God's servants as though they are ordinary people or they're equal to everybody. And it is not so. God expects his servants to be treated with respect. Saul, as far as I see in God's word, Saul was a demon-possessed backslider. That's what Saul was. Demon-possessed backslider. And David, he feared to touch him. He had opportunities to kill that man. That man was after him to take his life. And he had opportunities to kill the man, and he didn't do it. He said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Amen. God is capable of handling his servants, whatever they are, however they are, whatever they do, they didn't do. God is capable of, he don't need anybody help, he's capable. Amen. And many times we hear God's word and we see God's servants as ordinary people and we don't take it serious. We don't take it serious because I don't understand. You know, The Lord was moving in the congregation, but they definitely had no fear. To decide to do a thing like that, to sell the land and then come to church to lie, they had a right to drop dead. That was the perfect, that was good for them. That was very good for them. Okay. The thoughts on Ananias and Sapphira allowed Satan to plant in their hearts and minds took root. I tell you, the minute Satan put things in our hearts and minds, the minute we decide to agree, that's where the trouble starts. The minute we decide to agree, when he put the thoughts in our hearts and minds, the minute we decide to agree with him, that's when the trouble starts. That's when he decides to take us down the road, downhill. So the thoughts Ananias and Sapphira allowed Satan to plant in their hearts and minds took root. Sin conceived in the hearts, and sin was manifested through their actions. What is in a man's heart and mind determines what he is. What is in a man's heart and mind determines what he is. Amen. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. Appreciate going deeper into the study in the heart and minds? Do you appreciate that?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In this verse, we see that the word heart is used to refer to the place where man's thought originates. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus told the scribes who were accusing him of blasphemy, "Wherefore think ye evil in your heart?" And that's Matthew chapter 9, verse 4. When he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, he said, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" And that is Luke chapter 24, verse 38. So many times Jesus spoke about his death, his burial, and his resurrection to his disciples. Luke chapter 24, verse 38. So many times he spoke to them. I don't know what he was thinking about. It's true, they needed the Holy Spirit, but at least they could have taken some things into consideration. They doubted so much. And even when they heard that he was risen, they still doubted. Luke chapter 24, verse 38, what it says. "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." That's it. They were doubting. Gosh. Let's go from 36. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you," because they sat there belly aching, doubting, not believing. Even those who saw him came and told, and they still didn't believe. Didn't believe. So he stood in the midst, he just appeared. Remember, he was in his glorified body, his resurrected body. He no longer had to come through a door. So he just appeared while he was belly aching and sawing, and he just appeared. So he stood in the midst of them, verse 36, Luke chapter 24, verse 36. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted. They were terrified and afraid and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Could you imagine that? "And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hand and my feet. that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit had not flesh and bone as it see me have. So it wasn't a spirit, but it was Jesus in his resurrected body. And they could have feel him and feel the wounds in the hand and the feet. And when he had thus spoken, he showed himself. He showed them his hands and his feet. And what they did afterwards, they ate. And he sat with them and he ate with them. Spirits cannot eat, huh? Hello? I said spirits cannot eat. But it was his resurrected body.
Now watch carefully here in verse 40 and 41. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them.
Amen. So spirits cannot eat. I said spirits cannot eat.
Amen.
But he was resurrected. He rose from the dead and he ate.
Yes.
He ate food.
Yes.
That's the difference. That's the difference. All right, so that's Luke chapter 24. And you can read from 36 straight down to the end. If a man's heart and mind are filled continually with evil thoughts, lust of the flesh, carnal desires, and wicked imagination, he will be evil. Do you want to hear it again? If a man's heart and mind are filled continually with evil thoughts, lust of the flesh, carnal desires, and wicked imagination, he will be evil. You know, I shared on Wednesday with the folks at St. Joseph. You know, even in our thoughts, Jesus is supposed to be first and foremost in our thoughts.
Yeah.
If he is not first, and if we always think, if we got to, our minds got to be thinking, it got to be on Jesus.
Yeah.
If our minds are in anything else or anybody else besides Jesus, it's dangerous. It's dangerous for our spiritual life. We got to think on him. He's supposed to be first in our thoughts, in our minds, in every area of our being. He's supposed to be first. Anything else is first. It just takes the place of God. And you see, idolatry is not only what the people make with their hands and worship, you know. It can be a person, it can be a house, it can be a car, it can be a lot of things. You know, that can take the place of God. Amen? That's right. So if a man's heart and minds are filled continually with evil thoughts, lust of the flesh, carnal desires, wicked imagination, he will be evil. Amen?
Amen.
He will be evil.
Amen.
If his heart and mind are continually filled with fear, negative thoughts, and his own inabilities, his own inabilities. So you think about yourself as so limited. I can't do this and I cannot do that. And I'm unable. I can't. Well, you know something? Read God's word and understand. We can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Who strengthens us.
Amen.
So let's forget our inabilities. Amen?
Amen?
He will be cowardly, weak, and defeated if we dwell on what we can do and what we cannot do. On the other hand, if a man's heart and mind are filled with good thoughts, God's word, faith, and the power of the Holy Spirit, he will be strong and victorious. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do the other. Let's forget it. Amen? Our hearts and minds are the main source of our strength. If our hearts and minds are strong, we will have a clear understanding of God's word. If our hearts and minds are strong, we'll have a clear understanding of God's word. Our wills is set to follow after the truth and to act on his word. If we set our wills to act and follow after the truth that is in God's word and act on it, we will be strong, immovable, even during the greatest trials. Temptation or attack of the enemy will be strong. Because why? Temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. But when you yield to temptation, that's when it becomes sin. It is not sin. But when you yield, it becomes sin. Since the heart is the center of man's existence, the inner man where all the issues of life flow forth, it is vitally important that we make every possible effort to continually guard and protect it from the enemy. And so we are warned in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance. No, this one is not diligence. It's from the Amplified. Keep your heart with all vigilance. And above all that, your God, for out of it flow the springs of life. It's just a little different. You want to read it in the King James, Pastor? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We got to guard it. We got to guard it. I said we got to guard it. Amen. Continually. Let's hear it from the King James. 23.
No, Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Amen. So that's what we are more accustomed to. You know? Amen. The war against Satan, and you could write this also, the war against Satan must be fought and won in our hearts and minds. The war against Satan must be fought and won in our hearts and minds. The battlefield where Satan is waging war against the church today is in our hearts and minds. That's right. That's why we don't follow the dictates of the mind. If our minds are not in league, conformity with God's word, it will lead us astray. It will lead us astray. When things come into our mind, we got to ask ourselves, does this match up to God's word? Does it match up to God's will and purpose for our lives? Does it? When it comes into our minds. Our minds tell us a lot of things. You can't do this. You're unable with this. You're not. Please. And sometimes it's far from it. You know what we need? We don't need to follow our minds. We need to find out what is God's will for us. And always pray, God, your will be done in my life. Your will be done in my life. Your will be done in my life. Amen. Not what my mind is telling me. But your will be done. Jesus was tempted in his mind when he was about to go to the cross, when he was in the garden. And he asked the Father, he said, if it's your will, let this cup be passed from me. But immediately he came to his senses and said, not your will nevertheless, but thy will be done. So the battlefield where Satan is waging war against the church today is in our hearts and minds. Waging war against the church in our hearts and minds. At the very center of our being, where our entire moral and mental ability are located. The battlefield where Satan is waging war against the church today is in our hearts and minds. At the very center of our being, where our entire moral and mental abilities are located. He's attacking us at our most vulnerable point, where our thoughts originate, where we receive God's word and have faith to believe His promise, His promises, where our wills, emotion, desire, and all our mental abilities are located. Don't you know our wills are offensive weapons? We can use it against God or against Satan. Right. Our wills. That is why sometimes you pray for some people in vain. It might sound kind of off, right? But if you pray for something that somebody didn't really want, and at a time somebody, a sister said that to me, you know, a sister in a backsliding condition, she said, listen, I wanted to pray. I wasn't fast. I wanted to pray. She said, but I wouldn't encourage you. Suppose you pray for something that I don't want. And I said, thank you very much. I said, let me save my strength because right now I need my strength. I don't want to pray for something what you don't want. Huh? Our wills are offensive weapons. So you can pray for someone and for something, ask God to do something, and they don't want that, they don't want that. It won't happen. They're not agreeing with you. They set their wills for what they want. So you are praying in vain. So save your breath. Save your strength. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. So where our wills, emotion, desire, and all our mental abilities are located. Because the heart and mind are so closely related. We must also look at what God's word says concerning our minds and have a clear understanding of this battlefield. The Greek word used to refer to the mind is nous, which is used to describe the mental function or perception, understanding, knowing, feeling, judging, and determining. The mind is comprised of the will. When we set our wills, let's say we want to do something. We set our wills to do something. Don't you know God can even break through that? God cannot even break through that. He can't. Why do you think people backslide? Now, God is all-powerful, you know, He could do whatever He wants, but no, whosoever will. He's not going to force anybody to serve Him. He's not going to force you to do something that you don't want to do. He could do it, you know, but He will not. He wants us to serve Him willingly, 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 whosoever will. Willingly. The mind is comprised of the will, emotions, thoughts, imagination. Anybody ever imagine? You know, some years ago, the Beatles sang, Imagine There's No Heaven. They would have liked that. Huh? Imagine There's No Heaven. Well, they know it by now. Those whoever from the group died, they know definitely there's a heaven. And there's also a hell. Our minds are Satan's major point of attack. You know, I thank God for his word, you know. Because for every situation and circumstances we face in life, there's always the answer in God's word. There's never a situation that we face that we cannot find in God's word. There's never one, never will be one. But there's never an answer. The answer is in God's word. The answer for everything. Everything that we'll face in this life, every situation, circumstances, situation, whatever. The answer for it is in God's word. There's never a time when God says he don't know. Or give him a chance to think it over. Never. So our minds are Satan's major point of attack. And it is here where the war must be fought and won. It is in your mind where Satan is unleashing his all-out war. It's the mind. Young people, it's the mind. That's why you got to put in the right things. The music you listen to. The things you look at on television. The friends you hang around with. I tell you, if it's the wrong music, if it's the wrong things you watch, and if it's the wrong friends, your mind is already messed up. But I want to tell this morning, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. There isn't one messed up mind that the blood of Jesus cannot clean. Amen. I'm telling you. Because I know. The war we are fighting, where we are wrestling and struggling against Satan and his evil powers and principalities, is not against flesh and blood. It's not against, and you'll always hear that, it's not against flesh and blood. It is not a mental battle fought with our mental abilities through the power of positive thinking, through head knowledge. Head knowledge is not enough. You might know the word of God, you might know. But the minute you figure you can handle and you could do things on your own, you're already failing. I said you're already failing. Amen. As a matter of fact, you're already falling. Head knowledge, through psychological techniques, or through limited natural, you hear? Limited natural abilities. It is a spiritual battle in our minds. Sometimes you hear people talk and you know definitely they don't have a knowledge. They don't have the discernment. They don't have a knowledge of God's word. They might read the Bible and not understand. They don't understand. They don't have spiritual perception. They cannot discern, man. Sure, not a clue. It is a spiritual battle in our minds, which must be fought and won by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. You hear it is fought and won? By the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. You don't have the Holy Spirit? I don't know what to tell you. Don't have the Holy Spirit, you need to get saved. Amen. Don't have it, you need to get saved. You don't, not sorry, not it, but him. All of the strategies Satan has developed is in using against us today. He's using against us today are directed towards our minds. Tell me no. All the strategies Satan has developed and is using against us today are directed towards our minds. Anybody want to say no? Satan doesn't want Christians to have a clean, free, healthy, renewed, victorious mind. Don't want that. His strategies is to attack and corrupt our mind. To hinder you and I from being transformed into Christ's image. To hinder you and I from living your life in victory. That's it. His strategy is to bombard your minds with fiery darts. Unbelief. Fear. Worry. Confusion. Temptation. Depression. oppression and deception. I tell you, man, master deceiver. What is his mission? He don't want us to be transformed into Christ's image. Don't. He don't. And let me go over this again. All of these strategies Satan has developed and is using against us today are directed towards our mind. Satan doesn't want Christians to have a free, clean, healthy, renewed, victorious mind. His strategies is to attack and corrupt our minds, to hinder us from being transformed into Christ's image, to hinder the church from living our lives in victory. His strategy is to bombard our minds with fiery darts of unbelief, fear, worry, confusion, temptation, depression, oppression, and deception. He will try to fill your minds with evil desire and lust of the flesh. So note here that evil desires comes with lust of the flesh. He will try to cause you to fill your mind so full of the cares of this world and yourself that you will have no time or room for Christ and the Word.
Very important words. Very, very important words. Busy doing this, busy doing that.
No room. No room for Christ and the Word. You're so filled with the cares of this world, man. You know, he told us in Matthew chapter 6, 7, all the, don't take any thought. You can make your hair white or black. You look at the sparrows. They don't toil to get the food. They look around. They know God provides the food. So when they see a ripe pawpaw, they don't care about who planted it. They're going to make sure they get the food. They don't care about you. They're going to make sure they get the food. And you cannot get up early enough to get that pawpaw before them. Or that mango or whatever it is. They know God provides food for them, so they get up and they look for the food.
Amen.
And God said, don't worry.
Right.
If the sparrows don't have to worry, why we have to worry?
No.
He said, take no thought. Yeah. He said, but seek ye first, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all what you are worrying about will be added unto you.
Amen.
Put God first.
Amen.
I said, put God first. Put him first. Let's put him first. Let's put him second. First. 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 Let's turn to it. Let's turn to it. Matthew 6:33. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. You should have that highlighted in your Bible.